We'll open to our Bibles to John chapter number 10, if you will, please. Get this mic turned on, brethren. I can't see the buttons and looked down there. Saw one of them. You want to get my wife to look down there and see. And I saw one of them said mute, and that's one she would have mashed. So I made sure I didn't let her adjust that. Amen. John chapter number 10. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and we sure love your pastor. His family, and sure thank the Lord for them. They've been faithful all the years we've ever known them, and I sure appreciate that. Thank God for you here. And you need to increase the wattage on your station about 10 times so we can get it where we live at. You want to know which way the world's going? Just hit scan on your radio and see how many good stations they are out there. There's full of rock and roll and country and Catholics and everything else in the world. But to get a station like y'all's is very rare, very rare. And it shows you what the world wants because they give them what they want. Right. And so that's just the way it is. But thank God for you. Appreciate it so very much. We'll look at John chapter number 10 for just a moment tonight. And if you will, look down at verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You can be seated. Thank you so much tonight. We'll bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here tonight, Lord. Thank you for this place and the songs that have blessed our hearts. I pray that you please, Lord, continue to bless here. And Lord, I pray that every time we pray, every week that we pray for this church, that you'd please, Lord, hear our prayer and that you'd please bless them and help them. I know, Lord, all the outreaches they have and the work they're doing, Lord, they need your help. They cannot do that on their own. I pray that you'd meet every need financially and physically, Lord. And most of all, Lord, the Spirit of God would work through it and bring glory to your name. We do ask and pray tonight that you'd please touch us here for a little while. Let us, Lord, I pray, be a blessing and a help to the people of God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to look at this passage of Scripture tonight if we can. And I want you to look in verse number 10 for the thought tonight. Verse number 10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then this is what I want to give my attention to. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to deal with that thought about Jesus coming. And we're here celebrating Christmas, and this is just what's on my heart, not because it's Christmas, but this is just what's on my heart. And I want to deal with this thought tonight, the importance of Christ's condescension. A lot of times we give a lot of emphasis on his incarnation, which is vital. We must know that. Sure. That is a vital doctrine that we have in our churches, and that's under attack today. But thank God for the truth of the Word of God. It lets us know that Jesus was God in the flesh. But here in this thought tonight, I normally preach expositionally if I can, but this will be kind of a topical message tonight. But I want to deal with this thought, the importance of Christ's condescension. The word condescension means voluntary descent from rank, dignity, or just claims. The word descent means the act of passing from a higher to a lower place. And we must realize where Jesus was. We understand here, he says in this passage of Scripture, I am come that they might have life. I am come that they might have life. And so I want to look at that thought tonight in this passage and a couple others, if we can tonight, that the will of God be accomplished here. You say, preacher, what's the importance of Christ coming to this earth? Well, he mentions that several times. I'm just going to deal with a couple of them tonight, and maybe three if we can. But it is essential that Christ came to this world.
Yes, sir.
I don't think that the world puts any emphasis on it, and the churches don't put a whole lot of emphasis on it. We talk about the aftermath of it. Thank God for what happened after he came.
Amen.
But thank God for the fact that he did come.
Yes.
He had to come for the things that we enjoy today and are blessed to have happened to us.
That's right.
And we sing the song, and the songwriters penned it down this way, the first verse of this song. He said, he left the splendors of heaven.
Yes, sir.
And I think sometimes we forget just what Christ went through to for us to have life. And here in this passage of Scripture, he mentions something about that.
Yes,
and look what he says here in this passage of Scripture. He said, I am come that they might have life. So that indicates to me that unless he had come, there'd been no life. Say, well, preacher, people are walking around. They were alive. They were alive physically. But that was as far as it went.
That's right.
I'm telling you, Jesus Christ came that we might have life.
Yeah, man.
The word life here means life that's real and genuine. A life active and vigorous and devoted to God.
Yeah,
and without him coming, that would have not been possible.
Right.
In the Old Testament, they looked forward to his coming. But if they had kept just looking forward and kept just looking forward and him never came, we would not be privileged to have what we have today. And so his condescension is so important that we understand this in this passage of Scripture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And without Christ, there'd be no life. You and I would be doomed and damned, and we'd be on our way to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard one preacher say this one time. He said, well, if you look at it in a fleshly way, God looks at our report cards. We're all born with an F.
Yeah.
Every one of us are.
Yeah.
And Jesus was an A.
Yeah.
He had an A. And the best we could do, if we lived and tried to do right from the time we were born and we lived 100 years old and at the time we died, we did the very best we could, our report card would still read F.
That's right.
It wouldn't be a D.
Nope.
It wouldn't be a C. But it would still be an F in our own efforts.
Right.
But Christ is the one that had the A, and he imputed that A to our place and let us have an A for acceptance in the sight of God. And you and I, without Christ coming, we would be doomed and we'd have no hope of life.
Right.
But with Christ coming, he came to bring us life. He says in this passage of Scripture, I'm come that they might have life. That those that put their trust in Christ could actually obtain life. Not just physical life. The sinner has a physical life. I had a physical life before I was saved. So did you. But I did not know what life was all about. This is what he says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9. He said, in this was manifest the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. There's the life he's talking about. We can only live because the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world and condescended from heaven's glory. He said this in John's Gospel. You don't have to turn. But in John's Gospel chapter number 17, when Jesus was speaking there, this is what he said. He said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Yeah,
see, we see Jesus as just a normal man most of the time,
yeah.
But he was much more than that.
Amen.
And what he left to come down to this sin-cursed world, I'm telling you, the songwriter had it right. He left the splendors of heaven.
Amen.
He left all the royal things that he had. He left the angels saying, holy, holy, holy. He set aside his glory for a little while and came to this world, born and had took on flesh as in sinful flesh. But it wasn't sinful flesh. But he looked like you and me. I'm telling you, he left a lot. He did a lot for us to have life through him. And he condescended, left the fair state of heaven and came down to this sin-cursed world. Now, it would have been something if he'd come down and everything went rosy for him. That would have been enough. But friend, I'm telling you, the things he went through when he was on this earth, the turmoil and the tragedies and all the things that befell him. And yet he did that knowing what would happen to him. He left. He condescended. He came down to this world so you and I could have life. So if he came that we might have life, obviously there was no life before he came. You say, preacher, how do you know he came down? Well, he said he did. He said he came down. In John chapter number 6, he says this several different places, just for a couple of three here. He says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. In verse number 38, he said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Over and over and over, he emphasizes the fact that he came down from heaven. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. See, he didn't start at Bethlehem. That was not the beginning. That was his fleshly beginning. But that was not his beginning. Amen. He was from the beginning and spoke all things into existence. And I'm telling you, friend, when Jesus Christ was born there at Bethlehem, he existed before that. He came down from heaven. Praise God for that. Hallelujah for that. So we see here the importance of Christ coming. His condescension was that we might have life. Look over in Luke's Gospel chapter number 5 for a moment, if you will, please. Luke's Gospel chapter number 5. I won't keep you very long tonight. You listen, please, quickly. Luke chapter number 5 tonight. Look what it says, if you will, please, in verse number 30. Luke 5:30. It says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here he states another reason why he came. I was so glad to see this banner over here on the wall that mentioned repentance. That's just about a thing of the past for most Baptists. But it's still a Bible word and a Bible doctrine. And here he said, even Jesus himself said, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if it had not been for Christ coming, there would have been no call. And it says here that word call in this particular passage of Scripture means to invite. It means to rouse or to awaken. It means to summon authoritatively and urgently. And Christ came to call. That's one reason he came. I remember that call, don't you? Amen. I was a wicked, ungodly sinner, 21 years old, thought I had the world by the tail. I'm telling you, God intervened in my life, and I was in a place doing things I shouldn't have been doing, and no thought of God in my mind, and God spoke to my heart. Amen. He started calling me.
Yes.
It wasn't a call from the preacher.
Yeah.
Although the preacher was preaching the truth, and
Amen.
And inviting us, but it was a call much bigger than the preacher.
Amen.
It was a call from God. And here in this passage of Scripture, he says here, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So he came to call. He came to call, to arouse, to awaken. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I had no life, no ability, and God awakened me to the fact that I was a sinner and he was the Savior. If he had not called me, that would have never happened. But here he said he came not to call the righteous. Now the righteous word righteous here means those who seem to be righteous, who pride themselves on their own virtues, whether real or imaginary. He did not come for those people. He's not interested in trying to call somebody that's not interested in God. But I'm telling you, he is calling those that recognize themselves as sinners. He is. I played church for a long time, and maybe some of you did too. But I'm telling you, when God calls you, he lets you know that you're in trouble with God and there's a way of escape. Amen. He comes and he calls, but he did not come to call the righteous.
Amen.
People full of pride in their own abilities and their own works. He didn't come to call them, but he came to call the sinners to repentance. The word sinners means those not freed from sin. That was me. And if you're saved, that was you. We weren't free from sin. We were bound by the fetters of sin. We needed somebody to come and break us free and loose us. And Jesus Christ came for that purpose. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but he came to call the sinners to repentance. Would you classify yourself in that category before you got saved, a sinner? Absolutely you would. You would be honest enough with yourself to know that you were lost without God. In the 40th Psalm, there when the man's down in the pit, I'm telling you, it was a desperate time for him.
Yeah.
Now, it was one thing that he was in the pit. But the scariest thing about that is he couldn't get out of the pit.
Right.
Now, you might fall in a pit and you're able to climb out somehow, grab onto a root or maybe a vine or something and make your way out. But the scary part about that is he was in a pit, a horrible pit, and he could not get out. Somebody else had to rescue him. Amen. That's what happened to us. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ came to this world to call sinners to repentance. If you're not saved this evening, that's what he's doing for you. He's calling you. He is beckoning you. He is inviting you. He has summoned you. It is more than just a random invitation. It is an urgency involved in. It is from authority he calls you and tells you that you need to be saved.
Amen.
And here in this passage of scripture, we see as we celebrate this time of year, Jesus is coming to this earth. That's what we're dealing with tonight. The condescension. I mean, there he was in heaven in all the glory and splendor. And he pushed that aside to come down to this world so sinners like us could be saved by the grace of God. And here he said, I came to call sinners to repentance. The word repentance here, it means to give one the ability to repent. And it means a change of mind that it changes our actions. One man said this about sin, about repentance. He said, you have to agree with God against yourself. God's already said you're a sinner. And you have to say, you're right, God, I am a sinner. That's where a person has to get. As long as you make excuses, as long as I was putting things off and saying, I'm a pretty good boy, I go to church, I don't cuss around the preacher, I'm a pretty good guy. As long as I was like that, I was doomed for hell.
Yep.
But when I agreed with God that I was a wretched, vile sinner, God, you're right.
Yep.
And I need you more than anything in this world. I'm telling you, friend, it changed my life as it's changed yours if you're saved. And if you're not saved, it can change yours. Amen. So he came here, the Bible says. He came down to this world to give life, yes. But to do so, he came down to call.
Amen.
He came to call. It wasn't long he was on this in this world when he started his ministry that he started calling. He's still calling today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad that we talk about the incarnation. We must talk about that. It's very vitally important that we understand that God robed himself in flesh.
Amen.
I'm telling you, in order to do that, he had to come down from heaven.
Right.
I like that aspect because it shows us that he existed before Bethlehem. It shows us that he existed before he was in the virgin's womb. I tell you, Jesus Christ existed. He condescended from heaven's glory down to this world. So we see here that not only did he come down to give life, he came down to call sinners. Look, last of all, if you will, please, John's Gospel, chapter number 12. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. Look there, if you will, quickly, please. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. Look here quickly, if you will, please. So I see by the scriptures, if he had not come down, there'd be no life. And if he had not come down, there'd be no call. But look what it says here in this passage of scripture. In John chapter number 12, verse number 47. Look here, if you will, please. Look at verse number 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Oh my, if our church people can understand that. Amen. He says in verse number 47, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world.
Amen.
Here it gives us another aspect of why he came into this world. The Bible says here in this passage of scripture very plainly and clearly another reason why that God robed himself in flesh and came to this sin-cursed world. And he says here in this passage of scripture, he said, but to save the world is why I came. He came to save the world. Thank God he did. Can you imagine if he had not come? Where would we be? What kind of shape would we be in? I'm telling you, friend, every one of us would be headed straight to hell with no hope in sight. But I'm telling you, he did come, amen. And the Bible plainly declares it. He said it himself in this passage of scripture. He said here, I came not to judge, but I came to save the world. Praise God. This word save means to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment. And here Jesus Christ knew that if he did not come, oh, the terrible fate that awaited us. You and I that are privileged to hear the gospel and be saved now, if he had not come, there'd be no hope, there'd be no help, there'd be no way to escape the judgment of God. But he did come, amen, and he came to save sinners, thank God. He came to save. He didn't just come to help. He didn't just come to feed the poor. But he did that. Thank God. He didn't come just to heal the sick and or even raise the dead. And he did that. Thank God. That's not why he came. He came to save the world. Praise God. Now people want to acknowledge him as a person that fed the poor and a person to help the sick. They'll acknowledge all of that. But even though he did that, that's not why he came. All those things just proved who he was. But I'm telling you, he came to this world to save the world. Praise God. Save us. In our lost estate without God, no help and no hope. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ came on the scene. One preacher said the Old Testament was looking for him and the New Testament proclaimed, we found him.
Amen.
He came on the scene in the first of the New Testament. And I'm telling you, friend, it was very plain and simple why he came, to save the world.
Amen.
That's why he came. You have the radio station. Hopefully sinners will listen and be saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, praise God for every outreach you can give. But I'm telling you, there was a greater outreach than we could ever accomplish. Jesus Christ came down from that exalted high place, high and lofty place, and came down to the world and let sinners spit on him, buffet him, beat him. So we could be saved.
Amen.
And it says here in this passage of scripture, he said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The fourth chapter of Acts says this about the Lord Jesus. Verse number 12, you know it well. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What name is he talking about? In verse number 10, it says Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It gives us plain indication here that there's only one name that's ever been that salvation came through, and that was Jesus Christ. And had he not come, it's a plain indication that there'd be no salvation. You and I would be wringing our hands, fearful of the wrath of Almighty God, which we'd rightfully deserve. But we're going to be able to escape all of that and be ushered into the presence of a holy God and be in that place where he's high and exalted. I tell you, the only reason for that is because Jesus Christ came down to this earth. Praise God for that. He came that we could be saved. This is what This is what Timothy said in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Listen, if you will, please. You don't have to turn if you don't want to. But 1 Timothy chapter number 1 says this. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul doesn't stop there. He said, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why, preacher? Why did he come? Tell me why he came. He came to save sinners.
Amen.
It's very plain to understand that. And all the discrepancies and fusses and fights and misunderstandings about why Christ came would be solved if they'd just listened to the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to the Word of God. But here in this passage of Scripture, as well as the others, it tells us why he came. If there had been salvation in another, he shouldn't have come. But there was not salvation in the other. If salvation were in the deeds of the law, then he wasted his time coming. But there was no salvation in the deeds of the law. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, if we could grab a hold of this, he left everything to come to this world that you and me could be saved by the grace of God. We could hear that heavenly call. We could be saved by the grace of God and have life, amen, everlasting life.
Amen.
It's all because Jesus Christ came to this world. So when we look at Bethlehem, we read the Christmas stories and we center around that this time of year, let us not forget the aspect of this part of the gospel, that he existed before, well before Bethlehem. He did not start when the angel came and told Mary that she was going to have a child. I tell you, friend, Jesus Christ existed and was highly exalted and glorified in heaven. And he left all of that for you and for me.
Amen.
Bless his holy name.
Yes, amen.
Thank God that Jesus came.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.